Welcome to Manners and Madness, a Jane Austen and David Lynch podcast. My name is Maya Adkins.
And I'm Christian Cabrera. And today we are covering Metropolitan by Whit Stillman.
Yes. We've done one Whit Stillman before.
Yes, and I loved it. It was one of my favorites. Love and Friendship.
Yes. Or, I mean, was it also known as Lady Susan, or is it just... No, I think
it's a her name. It's a... what's it called? Not inspired by, but like an adaptation of Lady Susan.
Yes, yes.
Yes, that was like, that's the word.
Yeah, so this must have been like one of his first movies.
It was his first one. So you're right.
Oh, well, there you go. I just remember when we were like brainstorming the podcast and I was going through Wikipedia being like, what other, like just looking up adaptations and stuff and like, mm-hmm. you know, what I might have missed under Mansfield Park. This was listed as an a modern adaptation. And I did find a little bit of stuff just this week that was like, you know, it's not a direct adaptation. Whit Stillman mm-hmm. says it's not a direct adaptation. But I did find mm-hmm. an article on Jasna that was like, how Mansfield Park and Metropolitan are related to each other.
So, other than the fact that they discuss it actually in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I'm excited to talk about it because... I definitely had a lot of thoughts while I was watching it.
Yes, I can say the same. Was this your first time watching it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So we'll go right into it. What was your first impression?
Okay. My first impression was that it was like a Bret Easton Ellis... It was like a Bret Easton Ellis novel without mm-hmm. any of the angst or drugs.
That's a really good comparison.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was good. I liked it. I did it. I found it really hard to recap because I was like, I don't know what's actually happening and I don't know what's right. worth writing down.
Yeah.
It just had like the air of like an independent movie with like young people mm-hmm. and, but you know, still interesting. And I actually ended up liking the characters quite a bit. So where that's the opposite of a Bret Easton Ellis novel where you're like, I hate everyone. Right.
Every character gets on my nerves.
But I did think, did Whit Stillman and Bret Easton Ellis grow up together? Are they talking about the same group of people, just like completely differently from different ends of the spectrum?
It could be. It could be that maybe, you know, frankly, maybe Bret Easton Ellis ran in crowds that did a lot of drugs and Whit Stillman just did it. And maybe that's why their emotions seem to be more under control.
Well, what was your first impression?
I kind of the same as you. I love the feel of it. I mean, any movie that takes place in New York during Christmas is my favorite movie. And I love that it was like the 90s. It just had a very nostalgic feel to it.
Uh-huh.
And there were certainly some characters that I liked more than others. Cynthia, is that her name, Cynthia?
Which one? There was a Cynthia.
This is one thing I found very hard was...
I could not keep track of anyone's names until the end. No. And I was like, okay, I think I finally know some of these characters' names.
Yeah. No, Audrey, excuse me.
Audrey.
Audrey
and Tom. I knew who they were the whole time.
Yes. I found that they were the two most interesting characters.
Uh-huh. For sure.
But they were also still pretty passive. So I had a very hard time, I would say, connecting to any of these characters for multiple reasons.
Right.
You know, probably a lot of the time because they had like, they really just didn't have a lot of personality, but also like that sect of, you know, like a young adult where they're like super rich. I just don't care about because it's so I find it so uninteresting, because especially like in this movie, all they're doing is gathering and talking about nothing.
Yes.
A lot of the times they're just talking about nothing.
Yeah, I agree. But there's something about them that did eventually, not all of them, but like, mm-hmm. I really liked Nick. I was calling him Pretty Boy for the majority of the movie.
He was very interesting. I liked him too.
There's something about them that was both equally annoying, that they were not mm-hmm. even that they're rich, but that they were just kids who think they're so smart, or yes. who are just too smart yes. for their own good, or just like the way they were talking about these intellectual things with like no
substance,
no like lived experience or any experience yes. behind it. That's just like completely intellectual, and you're like, you would be insufferable to talk to. But also, they all seemed like pretty good kids. None of them seemed like especially
yeah
snobby, horrible. I would say, you know, for being so right. rich. And when I was able to like really focus in on what they were saying, I was like, okay, this isn't like, you're not saying obnoxious things. You're just saying it in a way that is obnoxious.
Yes. Well, I think it's also like obnoxious because the things you're talking about, like because you're rich, they don't affect you. So you can't, as like someone who is not rich and those topics like obviously do affect my everyday life, it's like, I'm going to have an emotional right. attachment to them, and you're just having like an intellectual attachment to them.
Yes, yes, yes.
And at the core of it, it gives off the impression that it's like, well, who cares? Who cares about anything?
Right. Yes.
Which I feel well, like is a part
the,
of this movie.
That was what really made me think of Brady Snell, is because of the apathy right. that they all right. seem to have.
I feel like I connected the most to Audrey and Tom because they seemed to actually care about something. The other kids yes. just didn't care about anything. And I feel like that was like, was that like one of the scenes, wasn't that kind of like the core of it, where it was like, who cares about this? Like, who cares about this? And it's like, care about something, please.
Yes, yes.
Otherwise, you're just, what's the point?
Yeah, I do think that in the Mansfield Park comparison, Audrey would definitely be Fanny. You know, she mm-hmm. defends her in the movie as being yes. like a nice person, and a nice person should be able to be the lead in a piece right. of fiction, you know? Right. And so when we got to the end of the movie, I was like, don't worry about Audrey, because she's good.
Yeah.
She's not going to be mixed up in whatever you're afraid for her. But
right.
we'll get there. But and Tom, I guess, is kind of like, from what I was reading and from what makes sense, he's kind of the Edmund Bertram slash mm-hmm. Sir Thomas stand-in, because mm. he definitely... But I was going to say, this is what it was, the article that I read on Jasna, it was really talking specifically a lot about how Mansfield Park uses hypocrisy as like mm-hmm. What it's really talking about is like the hypocrisy of all the characters. And I think that is also kind of a lot of what Metropolitan
yeah.
is doing. Honestly, I feel like Metropolitan was when Stillman had like three or four like things that pissed him off, and he went for him to talk about them.
Yeah, I think I read that he went to Harvard, and that's kind of what a lot of these characters and this experiences were based on. So I can imagine he probably went and was like, met some real insufferable people and was like, I'm gonna write this down for later.
He really wanted to talk about the literary critic, whatever his name was, yeah. who criticized Mansfield Park.
Right. Well, that's also another reason I really loved Audrey, was I felt like she was the only person in this movie who had any sort of critical thinking, because the whole discussion that she has with Tom about Mansfield Park and how, like, well, first of all, we'll get to it, but the fact that she's like, gives the comparison, like, okay, yeah, putting on a play and them getting in trouble for it is ridiculous, but if she were in today's time, she would think a lot of this is ridiculous too. So it's just like, no, without saying it directly, it's like, you know, you have this opinion about Mansfield Park being ridiculous, but maybe let's look at the time it was written in. Right. And not just be like, well, today it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, for him to be like, I don't actually read fiction. Yes. I only read critics of fiction. I mean.
Yeah. And the reasoning was because he finds it hard to remember that it's all fake. Sir. Sir. I was like, that's a problem. Like, yeah. Go to therapy.
Well, I feel like when I was writing the recap, I didn't really have, like I said, it was hard to write that much. Because mm-hmm. really, if you boil down the plot, it's like this girl likes this boy who doesn't notice her. And then mm-hmm. at the end, he decides he likes her. And that's basically all that happens.
Right. That's kind of the core of it.
Yeah. But it does make me want to talk about it. So
yeah,
we'll have plenty of time to get into all this stuff.
Dissect. Yeah.
It did kind of remind me of like a 70s movie, you know, even mm-hmm. though it took place in the 90s and it definitely had like 90s look to it. But also mm-hmm. I think the way it was filmed, like on the film stock that it was filmed uh-huh. and the fact that it was in New York, I don't know. It just kind of was reminding me of a lot of like 70s, like the look of like a lot of 70s movies.
Oh, yeah. Like, I could totally see that. I loved the look of it. I thought like stylistically it was really great and it felt real. It didn't feel like, you know, over the top rich or anything like that. It felt like, oh, this is like a real city, real people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved it stylistically. I thought it was very nice to look at.
Yeah. I didn't really even look it up, but I think he's got two more movies that he did in New York City, maybe with the same like type of people.
Uh-huh.
So I should have looked up, but I was curious whether they had anything to do with Jane Austen, but I don't think they do.
Yeah, I don't think they do. I think this is the only one that kind of
wrong about the fact that he has it all.
Touched down on it. Yeah, I would say, yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking of it in the lens of Mansfield Park and... Well, just in like Jane Austen Regency time, and I feel like the structure is very much the same as a Regency novel, where it's like, you know, the people have their like alone time to themselves, but then they all kind of gather in the evenings exchange ideas or whatever. But it just, you know, through a modern lens, it's a little more difficult to kind of get that down without it being boring because... You're like, well, they have so much other stuff to do.
Yeah. Yeah. At one point I was like, do these kids ever see the sun? Because it feels like they only exist at night.
Yeah. Well, there was one scene where Tom was like in a robe in the kitchen eating cereal. And his mom was like, are you going to return that tux? Like they close at 6. And I was like, what time is it? He's eating breakfast.
I know. That was very confusing. Oh, by the way, I did look him up. I think the other two movies that are like he's most known for mm-hmm. that I guess would be considered his New York trilogy or whatever
mm-hmm.
are Barcelona from 1994 right. and The Last Days of Disco in 1998, which I've definitely heard of that one. That one might be worth.
Yeah, I've heard of both of them. I think
he hasn't done that much, honestly.
Last Days of Disco is Chloe Sevigny and Kate Beckinsale. So,
oh, okay.
And the guy who plays Nick is in it too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so I might look those up. I mean, this is like Criterion. So why don't we go ahead and get into the notes? Because I want to know, like, did this win awards? What have you got to tell me?
Yes. 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 All right. Let's do it. All right, so it came out in August 3rd, 1990. It was written, produced, and directed by Whit Stillman. And I think it was his first movie. And the cast list, which is really interesting because a lot of these people are not like career actors. Like, they didn't right. have long careers.
Well, that's
careers
what made it so hard to know who, like, even when I looked right. up IMDb, I'm like, I don't even know who any of these people are. I can't recognize them from this picture or this non-picture.
Right. Yeah. So I was like, oh God, names are going to be a challenge for me in this recording. but I'll go through real quick. We had Carolyn Farina as RG Rouget. Edward Clements as Tom Townsend. Chris Egeman as Nick Smith. Taylor Nichols as Charlie Black. Allison Parisi as Jane Clark. Dylan Hundley as Sally Fowler. Isabel Gillies as Cynthia McLean. Brian Leader as Fred Neff. And Will Kemp as Rick Von Sloniker. This is the most ridiculous name. And then
to have a Rick and a Nick was so confusing for a little
it
while.
Very much was. And every time I saw Rick's ponytail, I just thought of, oh my God, what's his name from Twin Peaks?
Oh, Leo.
Yes, because it was like the most, that was like the lamest little tiny ponytail. I was like, oh God, you're one of these people. And then we had Elia Thompson as Serena Slocum, whatever her name is. That was kind of like our main cast.
Yeah. Well, when you were going through, I actually could picture what each one was in the movie in my head. So I guess I finally got there by the end of the movie as to who was who.
I think really the ones that get mixed up, the two of them are, actually the three of them are the women. There was like the blonde girl who they were always at her house. But I don't,
that's Cynthia,
nope.
I think.
That's Cynthia, okay. And then there was the brunette one that had long brunette hair, and she was going out on a date at some point.
She was the first one. Ugh, I don't remember her name, but she's not Susan, so she's not Cynthia. Okay. She's not Susan. She's the other girl.
She is Jane.
Jane.
Okay. Okay, now I'm picturing it. And then Sally was the one who was like...
She was also blonde, but she went out with like... an adult man at the end.
Right, it was so weird. It was very weird. Yeah, because when she was like, I was like, oh, she's definitely got a guy here. But then you go in there and I'm like, is this her dad? Because like he was old. It was weird. All right, and then awards, I'll kind of give you that. It was nominated for an Oscar for best writing first screenplay. It was a winner at the Film Independent Spirit Awards for Best First Feature for Whit Stillman. And then nice. It was also nominated for Independent Spirit Award for Best Female Lead and Best Screenplay. And the female lead was Carolyn Farina, which who plays Audrey.
Okay, yeah. I would hope so, because she was definitely the female lead.
Yeah, she was, and I thought she was great. And her origin story for this was really interesting, because she... It wasn't an actress and did an audition. She, I think it was like Whit Stillman's wife was at Macy's shopping, and she was like a perfume girl. And she was like, I like your vibe. Do you want to be in a movie or something? It was very much like that. It was really cool. And then let's see. At Sundance, it was nominated for the Grand Jury Prize for Dramatic. And at the New York Film Critics Circle Awards, it was a winner for Best New Director for Whit Stillman. And nominated for Best Screenplay.
Awesome.
Oh, it tied for Best Screenplay with To Sleep With Anger, whatever that means.
Well, and now it's on the Criterion Collection, so it's definitely earned its spot.
definitely. All right, and then for some trivia. Okay, so it says, Carolyn Farina was cast as Audrey after director Whit Stillman's wife ran into her while shopping at Macy's. Farina, who worked in the perfume section, had no previous acting experience. So I think those stories are always so cool.
Did she go on to do anything else?
I don't think so. She's one of the people... I mean, I think she did some other stuff, but she's one of the people who doesn't have a picture on IMDb. Oh.
I was kind of listening to the commentary. I was doing other stuff, so I didn't really hear a lot of it. But I did hear Whit Stillman saying that a lot of the... girls, maybe Audrey specifically, were finding it very hard to get work after this, just because they would always be typecast and like they could only go out for the debutante roles, you know, or the
that's rude,
the rich girl roles.
Interesting.
The 90s were especially bad for that sort of thing, I think.
yeah she only did a couple movies. She was in The Age of Innocence,
right?
And she was also in The Last Days of Disco, and she's credited as the same character she is in Metropolitan. So,
oh, so it is like a trilogy.
I think so, yeah. And then a movie called Little Noises. I think that's kind of it. So she didn't work too much.
Well, I definitely want to watch The Last Days of Disco and maybe that other one too, at some point.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, the actor Edward Clements, who played Tom, he only did one more movie after this. And then he became a born-again Christian and is now a pastor in Toronto, apparently.
Interesting. That I do remember Whit Stillman in the commentary saying after he had made the movie, he had different... You know, people in the industry being like, oh, you're so brave to put a redhead man as the lead. It's just never done. And I was like, okay, Hollywood, you're fucking weird.
That is, yeah, that's such a weird thing to me. Well, and there was still that discussion when we had the Brave movie with Merida having red hair and being a heroine with Disney, so... I was like, okay.
I mean, I always think redheads are the most beautiful, so.
Well, and it's just, I don't know. You would think that, I don't know. Hollywood is weird because it's, I can't tell if the whole redhead thing is some, like, leftover, like, Irish racism, or is it just weird
stuff? I think it's more so men than women, but I really don't know.
It's weird.
They're weird.
Very weird.
So looks obsessed.
There's a really interesting note that it's made me laugh because there's like this like quick little note about saying something about like the first film for most of the cast, and then at the bottom in parentheses it's like, this is not an accurate statement, blah 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 blah. I was like, I don't think you can edit these. So I think it was very weird.
Well, it did say introducing, like,
yeah.
And they were all listed under introducing, so I assumed that they were all pretty new. This might have been their first feature film.
Yeah, first film written and directed by Whit Stillman. Yeah, I said, according to Whit Stillman, the film was inspired by a series of events that happened to him during his freshman year at Harvard.
I wonder if he just got sucked into some debutante ball circle.
I don't even know
if that's what you would call them, but... Or the UHBs or whatever they call themselves.
Yeah, it's very much because, like, I think he was a freshman in 1969. So it was very much like social, you know, gatherings and of a certain status and very much, you know, that kind of thing, which is like society. And
right.
So interesting. And oh, yeah, they tried to use as many of like the like old school, like checkered taxi cabs because. While filming it, so there was one scene where they hailed a cab and you could like clearly see a woman on the New York street like walking up to it because she was also hailing a cab, and they were like, no, we're getting in because we're filming a movie. And she was like, okay.
I didn't even notice that.
It was like very quick too, and I don't know how I caught it, but I was just like, oh, that makes me laugh. But you know, filming in New York is always an adventure, I'm sure.
Yeah, especially when you're using like guerrilla tactics of apparently only walking around in the middle of the night.
Yeah, exactly. But that's all I had.
Perfect. All right, so we start. Actually, I didn't write it down, but the very first bit of music does sound like the opening of a Jane Austen
movie. Does.
And then it kind of went into like a do-do-do-do-do. I don't know. Like kind of a 20s, 30s feel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the first thing we really see is Audrey running into her bedroom, upset about a white dress.
Yes. There wasn't a lot of context.
Yeah, this like really I feel like has nothing to do with anything, but you know, it's one of the few times we see a parent. And so her mom comes in and tries to comfort her and takes the dress to, I guess, make it smaller. I think maybe it was too big.
Yeah, well, what was so interesting is like the way she came in and was like looking in the mirror and stuff like that. I was like, oh, this is clearly going to be something where it's like, it doesn't fit. But no, it was the opposite where she was like, it's too big. Like, the world is ending. It's like, yeah. Okay, girl.
I feel like the dress gets worn like halfway through the movie and it has no context.
Nothing.
So this whole opening scene is like, what?
It's really interesting.
And then, okay, so then we get like a title card. Manhattan, Christmas Vacation, not so long ago. And we see like a group of young people all dressed up. And they hail a cab. And there's a guy standing next to the cab, who we find out later is Tom Townsend. And they're like, oh, we stole your cab. So sorry. Why don't you come with us? And he's like, I didn't. That wasn't my cab. And they're like, well, come with us anyway. And it does feel kind of like the dialogue does feel kind of Jane Austen-ish at the very, especially at the beginning.
It does. What was so interesting is it felt Jane Austen in the beginning. And then once they, like, we start getting into like the scenes with everyone, it felt very David Lynch to me. I don't know why.
Yep. Yeah, they're basically like a bunch of smart kids who are being impressed by each other's smarts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's they know a lot of, you know, they've read a lot of books, but whether or not they actually, you know, understand the material is yet to be seen.
Exactly. They're just kind of like reciting what they've heard somebody else say. Mm-hmm. You know, they haven't synthesized it and thought about it themselves.
Right.
I wrote, I'm finding it hard to recap this party. Charlie and Cynthia, I remember, were definitely talking. Charlie was doing a lot of talking throughout the movie.
Yes.
Tom seems very much like he doesn't like them, but he doesn't dislike them. He like intellectually doesn't like them, but like actually he finds them all pretty cool.
His introduction was very weird because it's like established very early on that he's like very much like, you know, these people, I don't really usually hook up with these people.
Yeah.
But, you know, later we find out he is more like them than we think. So
true. But he does seem like he doesn't have as much money, but like maybe he originally,
not anymore.
His father. Yeah. Like he came from that.
Yeah.
They all leave and they all get a cab, but he doesn't like cabs, so he walks and they do go, driver, follow that pedestrian.
This was also very strange because they were like, you must be one of those people who looks down on people who take cabs. You must, oh, what was it? Like, you must be a public transportation snob.
Yeah.
I was like, I think it's typically the other way around, but sure.
Yeah. It's funny because it was all about other people being snobby towards them, but they were very rarely snobby towards anyone else, I will say. At least from what I could tell.
Yeah, and well, we also really didn't see them interact with anyone else.
That's true. Well, they weren't snobby to Tom.
Not too much.
Not too much. Okay, so we go to the west side where Tom lives, and it definitely doesn't look like a rich person's apartment.
The regular person.
We see Audrey talking to the girls, and she seems a little obsessed over Tom. She's just very curious about him. And I guess later we'll find out that she kind of already knew who he was. I don't know if she mentions that at the beginning, and I just missed it.
I don't think so. I think it's like a reveal.
Yeah. Back at his house, Tom kind of throws a fit about returning his tuxedo.
So weird.
But then he goes and runs and does it. This is when it was like he was eating breakfast and then suddenly had to run out the door and return his tuxedo by 6, but it was pitch black outside. I was like, is this, I guess it's winter, but.
It's, he was like in a robe too. I was like, did you just wake up?
It's very strange. So, okay, and then Audrey gets her friend Jane, which I wrote down so I wouldn't forget, Jane, to ask Tom to be her escort to something because there's a bit of an escort shortage.
If there were scenes, like titled scenes, that would be the title of like this whole scene would be like escort shortage. Yes.
I think in this scene, or in some scene around this time, Nick says that the titled aristocracy are the scum of the earth, because I quote, I quoted that and I almost said tweeted like a crazy person.
Well, it's because he hates Rick.
Yes.
That he's a baron.
So, okay. So then I guess the next night they're all together again. I guess they're mostly always at Cynthia's parents' apartment because mm-hmm. they're usually at some huge ass apartment that I'm like, wow, this is very nice.
Oh, definitely. Like if you've ever been to New York and even it just in like a hotel room, like this apartment might as well be a 3-story house. compared to
or maybe
else.
It could have been Nick's, I guess. I do find it interesting when we go to Susan's apartment later on and she just has like a tiny little apartment to herself. So I was like, I don't know how old any of these people are. Are they like in college or are they in high school? I assume they're like just out of high school into college.
That's the vibe I got. Yeah, their ages were never explicitly stated.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, we find out that Audrey likes Persuasion and Mansfield Park. And I was like, oh, you like the serious ones? Yeah.
Of course. She's a serious, you know, that's like the probably like, you know, especially that age where she's like, I'm a serious literary person.
Yeah, I mean, I like those as well. Mm-hmm. Well, I do. Tom is becoming more and more tiresome with his Austin derision.
Very. Especially this when you find out he hasn't read them.
Yes. I don't know if this is where he says he hasn't read them. Maybe he does. But this is not the like big conversation about the critic. You know, that comes a little bit later. He does. Nick is kind of like trying to guide him into like what you need to be able to fit in with us. You basically just need to buy yourself a secondhand tuxedo and an overcoat and you'll be fine.
It is really interesting that Nick, who is like weirdly like hates, like he has that whole thing about the titled aristocracy, but is like. Almost, it seems like he's definitely one of the wealthier people in this group.
Yeah.
That he maybe seems, the wealthiest. Yeah, he kind of like weirdly plays both sides and he does it really well.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't sure up here at the beginning. I was like, is he going to be like a bad dude? You know, but by the end, I was like, I think you're my favorite character. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, he like towards the end, especially, you're just like, oh, like he actually kind of cares for Tom and.
Yeah, for all of them, it seems like.
Yeah, he was looking out for... Yeah, he seems like he's got a good heart.
Yeah. Tom, though, does seem like a little insecure at first about like his lack of overcoat and things like that. But
yes, definitely.
I was like, I don't even know what to make of these kids. They're pretty funny and pretty clueless seeming at the same time.
Yes.
They're like... There's a whole conversation about the downward social mobility of the whole preppy class.
That's why I was like, a lot of the things they were talking about, I'm like, are these real things? They don't seem real.
Yeah. Yeah, this is like when I first was like, oh, they're just like really young and they talk like they're an expert on something that they've are just repeating somebody else and they don't really even understand it.
Right. And more than likely they're repeating it incorrectly.
Yep. Hey, we've all been there.
Yeah, we were all, you know, 19, 20 years old.
Yeah. But none of us really like to look back on.
No, none of us were, you know, in a movie. So
yeah. Okay, so yeah. So I wrote, so far they go from fancy apartment to fancy apartment. Drinking, not irresponsibly, and smoking inside, but basically just sitting around and talking kind of apathetically about big concepts with no lived experience. Of course, yes. I'm only 20 minutes in. Because I was like, I've written nothing, and we've been going for 20 minutes.
Yes.
Oh, so when Nick is, like, giving Tom his, like, you know... glow up or whatever.
Yeah.
He does talk about how like he wants Tom to go because the girls really like him and you know he sounds very sincerely like he cares about the girls and you know thinks about them, which I appreciated.
Yes.
Tom buys himself a tuxedo I'm still calling Nick pretty boy in my notes. Okay. Yeah. So when Tom buys himself a tuxedo was when I was like, these kids never see daylight.
Right. Right. Well, I also thought it was funny when he was trying on the coattails jacket first. And he was like, are they normally this shape? Yeah. He was like, and then he was like, I think I liked the one I wore. That I already rented. And he was like, that is the one you already rented. He's like, oh. And I was like, oh, this is when it clicked for me. I was like, these are children. These are such children that they don't know anything.
Yeah. I wonder why he even had it in the first place. We never find out.
Right. Yeah, we never get told why he was where he was when he ran into them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've already, I guess I haven't written it in my notes, but I don't know if we've already found out about his ex-girlfriend Selena.
Oh yeah. Selena. Yeah, he used to write letters. I think this is that when he finds out that the reveal is very funny because I think is it Jane? She's like, oh, this hilarious story. Our one of our friends, Serena, she's so hilarious. She would have like 20 boyfriends at different schools. And
yes. And he's like, I was one of them.
Yeah, she was like, oh, whoops. And then, you know, oh, but your letters weren't bad. We actually really liked your letters. And he was like, you read them? She was like, well, she actually read them to us. So it wasn't like we read them.
Yeah. Another very Jane Austen funny. Thing yes. with the letters, and letters, the keeping of the letters.
She was such a proficient writer, she could write three in study hour. I know. So ridiculous.
Okay, so they all go out. This is where they're all wearing white, and she's wearing the dress from the beginning. They basically go to another apartment. We kind of see them at, like, leaving an event, usually, and then we join them whenever they're, like, just hanging out afterwards.
Right.
Nick gets slapped. Oh, Audrey, this is where they have their conversation, where she is like, I read this trilling critic. And I don't care for him. And this is where Tom says, you don't have to read a book to have an opinion on it. And I was like, you're an idiot.
Yes, that's when I was like, Audrey, this should have been the immediate red flag for you
red
to be
flag,
like,
red flag.
Well, also, like, I no longer like this person.
Exactly.
To say that you don't need to read the book, you just need to read the critic's review of it is so ridiculous. And I think this is also where he's like, I could just never remember that fiction is fake while I'm reading it, so I don't like to read it. It's like, what are you talking about? This is like the weirdest thing to say.
Yeah. Okay, so the girls go get waxed. This is only like a 5-second scene.
Yes.
Then they all actually go to dinner, which we see them at the fancy dinner. And they're talking about the bourgeoisie, which I kept having to use my microphone to write the word because I could not.
Yeah.
I could not spell it. Not even good enough for spell check to figure it out.
Just one of those like French words that is just so like, this is definitely French because there are like 7 letters you don't pronounce.
Exactly. They actually dance at this event, and then there's a conga line. So it's a little bit different.
Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
Is this the one where he goes off with Serena? Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He goes off with... Okay, Serena, I guess, is there. And yes. Tom and her kind of meet up. I honestly... Supposedly, throughout this entire movie, Tom has got a crush on Serena. And I had no idea that he actually still had a crush on her until he said it at the very end. And I was like, okay, well.
Well, and also, like, she's not a very big part of this movie. Like, we only really see her here and then maybe, like, one or two more scenes. Like,
yeah.
So she's not, it's, like, weirdly mainly about Audrey's, like, infatuation with him.
Yeah.
And then his infatuation with Serena, who's never around, so it looks crazy that he likes her still.
But that is Mansfield Park, you know, the heroine pining after the guy who she's literally talking to the whole time, but he is pining after another girl.
Who he's hardly
one
ever
with
seen.
Several boys. We're good. Oh, and she kisses Tom in this scene, which I guess might have been what made me think that he didn't like her, even though he did go off with her a little.
It was, yeah.
I think he was like, yeah.
He was just shocked by it. And yeah, it felt weirdly. And then like he abandoned his, he was supposed to be Audrey's escort and he had, and hang out with his friends though. And he abandoned them to go back to her place. And it was really weird. And I was like, ugh. Red flag number two.
Yeah, right. She kind of reminded me of Robin Lively.
Mm.
She was, who was also in Twin Peaks as a, oh God, what was her name?
I know the name Robin Lively, but hold on.
She was Teen Witch. She was also the mayor's wife, like young wife who all the guys, she could like wrap everybody around her finger. What was her name?
Is she, she had that like that real interesting accent.
Yeah, Southern.
Let's see. Oh, God. Because it's going to drive me crazy unless I know her name. Come on. I'm almost there. Lana.
Lana.
Lana Budding Milford.
My brain. Okay. Oh, this is also where I found out that this was Nick's name was Nick Smith.
Yes.
Oh, I said, Tom, don't kiss this girl while Audrey is thinking you're trapped in some fire stairs.
I know. So rude. Ugh.
Okay. Everyone is annoyed with Tom, rightfully so.
Exactly.
Somebody says, I don't know who, when you're an egoist, none of the harm you do is intentional.
Oh, I know exactly. It was, I can never remember his name, but he's the one who had the glasses and he was, Charlie. He was like always talking.
Yeah.
You could definitely tell that he had something for Audrey.
For Audrey, yeah.
Yeah, and so he was like, you hurt Audrey's feelings? You're dead to me.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Okay, so Tom tries to apologize. Audrey just leaves. I think this is where they walk home, and Nick is trying to assure Tom using a seagull metaphor. And yeah. I think this is where they see the toy box on the street and or like a box of toys outside his dad's apartment, because we're kind learning that Tom's father lives in the same building as some of the rich kids, or yes, one of the rich kids. And we learn kind of that Tom is kind of doesn't see him very much, and that his stepmother seems like she kind of doesn't care for him. And so yeah, we see a box on the street and Nick is like, oh, this is like our childhood. This is all the stuff our generation played with. And Tom, I guess at this point, realizes that those are actually his things.
Right.
That his dad is throwing out on the street.
Yeah. There was some line about his stepmother where he was like, I think it was when he's confronted about his dad, like one of the girls is like talking about his dad and he's like, well, sometimes I see him for dinner in the city and I can't really go over to his apartment because my stepmom, it was like something where she, like the balance gets thrown off if we're around or something crazy. I was like, oh, she's a horrible person.
Yeah. And then I just said, read a book, Tom. So again, I don't know what the context was. Okay, then we learn about Charlie has invented this term, urban haute bourgeoisie, I don't even know if I'm saying it right.
Bourgeoisie.
He just thinks, it, or like UHB is what he calls them.
Right.
He thinks it's a better word. Oh yeah, I was like, what are you saying? He thinks it's a better word than preppy.
Yeah, well, I would say, yeah, preppy to me almost feels like, I feel like I would use it almost as like a slur for those kind of people, as like a funny thing. But the line after they kind of introduce one of the blonde girls, I can't remember her name. It might have been Cynthia. She was like, is the English language so dead that we have to resort to acronyms of French phrases? And they're all like, who cares?
It'll just wait a few years. Everything will be an acronym.
Exactly.
Okay. So So this is where we find out that Nick doesn't like Rick. He's one of these titled aristocracies. And he tells us the story of Polly, a horse girl, who basically, in his story, basically gets raped by Rick and then kills herself.
Yes.
Cynthia does not believe it because Cynthia has a thing for Rick.
Yeah. Well, it's like she says, like, she's like the whole time refuting the story, like that you that's not you know, that's not real, whatever, whatever. And then at the end of the story, she's like, well, it's not his fault she killed herself. So it's like, so did it happen or did it not happen, Lee?
Yeah.
Come on.
We find out in the very next scene that Nick made it up. And he's yes. like, it's so funny that she would actually pretend like she knows this girl who I just right. literally made up.
Right. A composite, like the New York Magazine yeah. does.
This is where I was like, I don't know what to make of these children.
Just,
I feel it's like kind of a terrible story, but then also yeah. he's convinced that he does do this to other people. So,
yeah, I guess I mean,
Rick they're... is in the Bret Easton Ellis novel.
Yeah, Rick is definitely like, I feel like some of the truths we get about Rick is like very weird and shady. Like, yes. there's something about collecting women's panties that he sleeps with. It's very weird to me. And a yeah. little borderline serial killer-ish. So,
yeah. very odd. And when we do find him later, he doesn't seem like the best guy.
No, he seems the worst.
Okay, so then Christmas Eve. We actually go out in the daytime.
For once.
Jane, who I was calling pretty girl, is trying to dissuade Audrey about Tom. Yeah, Audrey should. Is upset. She sees the complete works of Jane Austen in a window. I don't know if she buys them for Tom. I don't think she does, but she,
I was thinking
you
she
could tell her brain is turning.
She should have.
And then they go to church and Serena is there. And I said, fuck off Serena, because she makes Audrey cry.
Yeah, she's the worst. Although when they, it looked like they went to like, what is it? St. Patrick's Cathedral, which is right on Fifth Avenue. It's like a really big, pretty church. Mm. But I couldn't help but sing along to the hymns as I grew up Catholic. The Oh Come All You Faithful. I was like, I know every single word still.
Yeah, it definitely looked pretty.
Yeah, and it was like so full. I was like, there's one thing about Catholicism that they got right was, you know, all the prettiness.
Midnight Mass.
Just how pretty everything looks. That's about it, though.
Okay, so then we get another title card that says, the week after Christmas, Orgy Week begins.
Okay.
So all the kids in the least orgy-ish thing possible get together to play bridge.
Yes. Well, and also, oh, go ahead. Just keep talking, because I feel like you're going to talk about him being invited.
Oh, well, I was just going to say that they don't invite Tom initially, but then they decide to invite him, and he shows up, and yeah, that's all I said.
What was so funny, like, it was very clear Jane was not inviting him because Audrey, the whole situation with Audrey, and she was like, well, and for some reason they were like, I mean, I don't know the rules of bridge, but they were like, we can't have a not full bridge table. We can't do it.
Yeah.
And so, and then
that's
they were like,
that's very Jane Austen too.
You know what? That is very Jane Austen actually. I feel like that was just in, what was the book? Pride and Prejudice, wasn't it? Or maybe the one before that, where they were like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
One of the older ladies was like, we need a full table.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
blah, blah.
For sure.
But it made me laugh that they were like, you didn't invite Tom. And then they were like, why would we invite Tom? He would just call us snobs for playing bridge. And then he gets there and he's like, snobby about the bridge thing. And I was like, is this a known thing? I didn't know that yeah. bridge was snobby.
At one point, one of the girls goes, one thing we do know is he won't like it. And then he comes in and doesn't like it.
It made me laugh.
Yeah. Okay, but actually, Tom has had some growth over the Christmas days.
Mm-hmm.
Because we find out that this makes me feel so bad for him, but we find out that his dad moved to Santa Fe without telling him.
Ugh, that's horrible.
Like, he showed up to have Christmas with them and the apartment was cleared out.
That's horrible. I was like, your dad's a piece of shit.
Yeah. But he's also started reading Persuasion, and surprisingly, he Yay. Likes it.
You don't say.
Okay, so then I guess a little bit orgy-ish. They play strip poker. Seems so unerotic, though. I said, sometimes I just want them to stop their stupid chatter.
Well, it's like, even during the strip poker, it's like they're such like waspy wasps that they wear so many clothes that they're never going to get naked because they have so many layers on. So there's nothing like sexy about it. And they're also all just, they continue being this like weird, like, I'm intelligent, so I must tell you everything I know. That's intelligent.
They just have so little emotion.
Yeah, I was like, are you guys on pills? Because something's wrong.
Because, like, even Tom's father, I feel bad for him, but he just seems so pretty okay with it. Like, he just seems so like,
so detached. Yeah.
He says he's concerned, but he doesn't seem concerned.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe he's, like, feigning concern for the group or something, but there was, like, I feel like there was that one scene where, like, he had to borrow money from his mom and said that he was like, I know things are tight. And she's like, they're not that tight. Like, she's probably getting, like, child support. So she's like, I'm fine. Like, right. She's like, we're good. We live in New York comfortably. So.
Okay. I guess this is the next night. Or I don't know. Nick has some sort of mescaline moment where he's freaking out in some way.
So weird.
So, like, just a passing thing. Then Nick still seems weird the next night, but they're playing Truth or Dare, and this is one of those parallels because Audrey doesn't want to play, but they bully her into it, and it's very Fanny Price moment where you know, she's like, this isn't something we should do, it's, you know, morally it's gonna turn out bad, and then they just bully her into going along with it.
Yeah, this is when I knew, was it Cynthia who was the one who bullies her into it? This is where I knew that. I was like, it was one of the two blonde women. I think it was the one who ends up with, like, the older man at the end.
Oh, I think that's actually Susan.
Susan. This is where I was like, ugh, I do not like her. Because she did that thing where she's like, well, if one of us doesn't want to play, then we can't play at all. So it's like, you ruined it for everyone. And it's like, you guys can very easily just play without her playing. It's not anything weird. But I hate people like that. It's just, ugh, gross.
Yeah. Cynthia is the one who says that the last person she slept with was Nick. Right. And Jane, for her question, asks Tom about who he likes. And he says Sarita because he's a dummy. And Audrey gets upset. And I said, God, you're an idiot.
It was very funny the way she asked the truth. Truth, tell me all your romantic interests in sequential order with lots of details, please. It's like,
I'm wondering, does she have a crush on Tom? But never went there either.
No, I mean, she was very clearly setting it up for Audrey, like, to be like, okay, yeah, he likes Serena, but he probably also likes you, like. And then of course he was like, just Serena, that's it.
I can only one person at a time, and it's her.
Instead, they're all like, idiot.
Yeah. God. So okay, so Charlie goes to try to comfort Audrey and tells her he likes her, and she runs away because she doesn't like him.
Yeah, poor Charlie.
Then they go look at a photo album, which only has photos on one side of the page, and I was like, that's psychotic.
Maybe it's those rich people ones where they can afford to buy more photo albums.
We find out that Nick is also estranged from his father. He is going to visit him, however, and he seems very concerned that he will be killed, and he tells Tom to investigate his death if anything happens. And he also tells him that he's been singled out to go to this weird televised debutante ball where each girl has two escorts, one from overseas and one from here, I guess. So weird. And so everyone watches it on television. While they're watching it, the notorious Rick comes in.
Yuck.
And that's where we find out that he's a baron.
He's a baron, but he doesn't really care about those kind of things.
Yeah, but he does seem like a creep. So you're like, we don't like you.
Well, yeah, this is where it's like, yeah, he has that weird little ponytail. And he just
he's
is like
aggro.
Yeah, well, and it's also like he doesn't care about the fact that he's a baron. But then they like start talking about certain things. And he's like, ugh, you guys care about that kind of stuff? Like, it's just very much like, why are you here? Right. Why are you starting fights with everyone?
Charlie apologizes to Audrey for telling her he liked her.
Aww.
And then Nick comes back from the ball with presumably the girl and the other escort.
Right.
Because there's two random people there. And I'm like, okay.
Very interesting.
But Nick and Rick fight, or they just go at it verbally. But then Rick punches Nick.
Ugh. Classless. And
we're sure that he's a bad dude after that.
Of course.
I definitely believe Nick over Rick. And this is where I was like, I kind of think Nick is my favorite character.
he's got a lot. He like starts to develop a lot more personality as the movie goes on. And he just becomes like so animated and a lot of fun.
Yeah, I definitely think he's the best actor of the group. Yes. But
I agree.
I don't know why I whispered that into the microphone.
So they wouldn't hear the other ones.
He does. I think he says as he's leaving, because he's off to the train or whatever. He says, he failed to live up to the group standards of the UHB.
The very funny.
Okay, so then I just wrote, Tom, get over Serena. We like Audrey.
Yeah, none of us really care about Serena.
I think he's with Serena. And this is where we find out that he saves his letters. Very Jane Austen.
Mm-hmm.
But Serena does not save her letters. Of course. But she actually gave away Tom's letters to a girl at school who had a crush on him. Turns out it was Audrey.
Yeah. Which this was also where I was like, Serena is kind of a bitch too, because she was like wording it in a way where she was like, yeah, I gave him to this girl who was like obsessed with you. Where it was like, okay.
Yeah.
First of all, you guys were teenagers. Like, you're all unhinged, crazy people.
She didn't know him, so she couldn't have been that
exactly
obsessed.
Exactly. So I was like, whatever.
But being told that another girl actually has a crush on you and has for a while makes him realize that he's over Serena, and now he actually likes Audrey.
Oh, Tom.
And this is where I realized that Jane was the pretty girl. So they go to Sally's apartment, just the boys, just the three. There's another boy who's like, I guess, the drunk boy. He has very little... to do
in and out.
But and this scene, they're referring to themselves as the Rat Pack, which I've never heard them talk about themselves like that before. They're all there watching her put on makeup. It's just so strange.
Well, it's that thing you do when you're that age where you're like, I just want to be around my friends, so I'll just go and sit on their bed and they're just doing whatever.
It also kind of seems like the drunk boy is now sober. Like, maybe he got sober the last 2 days. I was having a hard time following what exactly was going on. Tom and Charlie go to a bar and start talking to a grown man. And I was like, is this Whit Stillman? But it wasn't. It was just another random guy.
Random guy.
He tells them about the acid test, which is apparently the test of whether you take any pleasure in responding to the question, what do you do?
Interesting.
Which I've heard the phrase, the acid test, but I never knew that that was, I mean, I don't know for sure that it is. It's just what this guy said in this movie.
I never heard of it before.
Me neither. Well, I mean, I've heard of the acid test, just vaguely. I don't know. Okay, so they go back to Sally's at midnight. Mm-hmm. I think they go back to Sally's. And she is being creeped on by a supposed record producer. midnight, they go out somewhere.
It's really weird because they're like saying they're going to go to Sally's. And they're like, well, we didn't really say we were coming over. And Tom, rightfully so, was like, we've literally been at her house every single night for like the past month. Why wouldn't we go tonight?
I don't know.
Right. One of the blondes. And so they go, and then she's like kind of irritated that they're there. And then is like, why are you here? Like, we don't do that anymore. And it's like, when was that established that we don't do that anymore? But then she makes them come in, and then it's like weird because you're like, why were you irritated that we were there? But you're also like sort of using us as an excuse to get this guy out of here. It was really weird.
Yeah, but then she gets in the cab with him. Like, they're going off on a date. Yeah. Together.
I was like, at midnight? I don't know. It's New York, I guess.
As soon as I hear an adult man with a young girl say he's a record producer, I'm like, warning, warning, red flag, red flag.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, like, no shade, but it's not like he was very handsome. He was not.
No. But so, she seemed very much like, this is what I've got to do to get ahead in the world.
It's very, like, cringy.
Okay. So, yeah, this, I was confused. They're looking for, like, where's Audrey? And I guess, I don't know. We'll just skip to Tom having a restless night, wondering about what's happening to Audrey, because there's just some conflicting information about where she is.
Mm-hmm.
No one really knows. He gets Charlie to call people's parents at the crack of dawn, and they're like, I think she's with this person. And they call the other person, and they're like, I think she's with Audrey. And they're wandering around trying to rent a car, but neither of them have a license.
Right.
And I don't even know how old they are. Like, I don't think they're old enough to rent a car anyway.
Yeah. I think not having a license is pretty common in New York, especially for rich kids.
Yeah.
But yeah.
They're just kind of flailing, worrying about her. And personally, I think I already said it earlier, but I was like, I think she'll be fine because she's the most responsible of you.
Well, it was so weird because, like, they were like, oh, like, we haven't seen her in a couple days. And then it goes from that to be like, she, like, went off with this person and she hasn't been seen in a long time. Like, no one's seen her anywhere. And it's like, well, is she missing? Like, are we concerned or what is going on?
She just went out for one night and no one can find her.
Right.
But she was in Connecticut. So they get a cab to Connecticut, which seems like a... obviously it was a long cab ride.
Right.
I said it must be expensive. It ended up being like, well, they paid $120. I don't know if that's how much it costs, because
I think it was probably supposed to be more, because Charlie was like, I thought we agreed on $120. So clearly cabbie was like, oh, this is it.
Yeah. But he doesn't stay for them, which does seem a little strange, just because, like, you have to drive all the way back without a fare. Wouldn't you rather just take them back?
I think he didn't want to wait for them, but I was like, just keep the meter running.
Yeah.
Rack it up. Like, they're rich. Who cares?
But he leaves. So they're stuck there and they're locked out. I don't even know. It's like some sort of country club or something.
It's a weird structure because part of it looks like a house, but then part of it looks like they're like townhomes, like connected houses, kind of. I think it's supposed to be Rick's house.
I thought it looked like they were also at a lighthouse, so I don't know.
It's very weird. Yeah, I was like, I guess I've never been to Connecticut, so couldn't say what their houses look like.
But they can hear like a music kind of loud playing from inside. So they burst in on the party, quote unquote, which is basically Rick sitting in a chair, mostly naked.
Yeah.
Cynthia, I think.
Yeah.
Also mostly naked.
Yeah, the blonde one that has had a crush on him the whole time, Rick.
Oh, yeah, Cynthia.
She's like in a bathing suit that has her top off like she's tanning, but they're inside and there's like a lamp over her. So I was like, are you tanning underneath a lamp? Very weird.
And Audrey's there, but she's fully clothed and reading a book.
Yeah. She's, you know, being Audrey.
Rick comes over and punches Tom, and Tom pulls a gun, which I think is a toy gun from the toy box we saw earlier.
It's so small.
But Rick is like, oh my God. He's a dick. He just confirms it more and more each time he speaks.
Yes.
Okay, anyway, so they go out to the beach. I was like, I knew Audrey would be fine. She's a smart girl. We find out that she, I guess, goes to school in France, and she's going back there. And Tom is like, I want to go to France. And she's like, well, you can.
Just go, I guess.
And they're kind of cute, I guess. I think Tom admits to liking Audrey. Honestly, mm-hmm. I cannot remember.
I think so.
You'd think I would remember that most pivotal plot point. But then Charlie, Tom, and Audrey walk/hitchhike back to New York City. And that is the end of the movie.
So interesting.
Kind of went a little long on that one.
I know. We were worried that we wouldn't have enough to recap, but we just had a lot of opinions.
Yeah. We had a lot to say at the very beginning before we even got into it.
Yes.
But do you have any final thoughts? Favorite moments?
Favorite moments. I would say, I don't know. Like, I kind of like the home stuff with Tom. I found that very interesting. Like, I kind of wanted to know more about his home life.
Uh-huh.
I found those really interesting, and I, like, really loved their apartment, because even though it was, like, smaller, it felt so, like, homey and, like, lived in, like, very 90s. Like, I just loved it so much. But that was probably, like, my favorite part, were those kind of scenes.
Yeah.
How about you?
I guess probably my favorite parts would be, I mean, I like Audrey. She's probably my favorite girl.
Yeah.
I liked Nick and Tom's relationship mm-hmm. with each other. And I liked Nick.
Yeah, I liked all scenes with Nick in it. He was a fun. He was, like, really brought a lot of levity.
Yeah, and as it went on, definitely, like, more actual plot happened. And so mm-hmm. it got a little more interesting. Sounds bad when I say it like that. But, you know, there's just more to say what happens.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so final thoughts?
I mean, I enjoyed it. I found, you know, I kind of got, you know, a little bit bored at certain parts just because it was like, you know, I'm no longer in my young adulthood. And these kind of conversations, the way they're having them was more annoying than entertaining to me. So I didn't really connect with a lot of the characters, but I think there were really great moments, and I loved the way it was shot. Like, it looked really good. And, you know, I like to think that Tom and Audrey go off to France and, you know, fall in love.
I do too. I will say, you know, I was comparing it to Bret Easton Ellis novels the whole time. And I went through a Bret Easton Ellis phase in my late 20s where I read all of his books. And I, you know, it was a weird time in my life. I felt like I was having an existential crisis. And looking back on them now, I don't think, even then, besides Glamorama, which I don't know if anyone's even read all these Bret Easton Ellis novels, but
mm-hmm.
a lot of them were made into movies, but like Glamorama was a really good book. But other than that, they all felt kind of like off-putting in their uh-huh. way, but I still wanted to read them all. But I like this because of the way it's the antithesis to that, you know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
they're still the same kind of kids, but they're just like, they're pretty good. They're pretty good kids.
Yeah, they're... Yeah.
None of them are too bad. They're typical in their way of children. Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing horrible. Like, they're just, you know, doing kid things.
Yeah, and I like that Audrey, the main character, is a good kid who at the end you're like, I'm sure she'll be fine because of all the characters in this, I trust her the most to have a good head on her shoulders.
Exactly.
And you know, Tom was a little insufferable, but like Edmund
from he turns Hansel around Park, at the end.
You know, if your main character likes them and they're not actively bad, you kind of gotta find what you can like about them.
Exactly. I feel the same way.
Yeah, and he wasn't bad either. I mean, he was just kind of annoying at the beginning with his Jade Austen derision.
Yes.
But by the end, he was reading Persuasion like a pro.
Exactly. He had to just, you know, he had to be set straight. You can't be doing this anymore.
Yeah. And Audrey did a good job.
Yes.
So I'm glad we watched it because I've always wanted to, and I've mm-hmm. owned it for a while and still hadn't watched it until this. So, and I do kind of want to watch the other Whit Stillman movies.
Me too. Yeah. I mean, I really loved Love and Friendship is one of my favorite things we've covered on this podcast. Yeah. So It's not like I don't like his work. And clearly this was like one of his first things, so
yeah, you know. Definitely.
So I'm definitely interested in doing his other films for sure.
Yeah. And we're going to be reading Mansfield Park this year, so it'll right. be fun to think about this.
Yes.
When we're reading that, we'll probably definitely. Have some more comparisons.
Oh yeah, we'll definitely have to touch back.
Yeah. But that's all for today. I feel like I'm losing my voice.
Yeah. If you watched this movie and have any thoughts about any of our opinions or just your own opinions, you can email us at mannersofmadness@gmail.com. You can DM us on Twitter at mannersmadness or on Instagram or Threads at mannersofmadnesspod. Or you can leave a 1-minute voicemail on our website at mannersofmadness.com.
Yeah. Where did you watch this? On Max? Was it on
yes,
Max?
Yes, Max.
Okay. Yeah, so you can watch it either on that or on the Criterion channel. And I would definitely say recommend you should watch it because it's not that big of a commitment.
It's yeah. like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't like slog or anything. It definitely moves like at a normal pace. So it's not like a bore.
And you don't really have to be paying strict attention to kind of keep track of all the characters and what's happening and everything.
Yeah. It's definitely...
Because you can't keep track anyway, even if you are paying attention.
Right, yeah. And, you know, it's a Christmas in New York time movie, so it's definitely a good, like, if you're getting ready for the Christmas season or something, or you're missing the Christmas season. Yeah. I was missing it, so this definitely made me want to be back in Christmas time.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that it was Christmas time, or else maybe we could have done it at Christmas time. But... We did it now.
Yeah, it's technically not a Christmas movie. It just happens to take place at Christmas time.
Like most Christmas movies.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that's all for tonight. We will talk to you next week.
Yes. See you then. Bye.
Good night.